He lifted her foot, both delicate and swollen, inside the light blue sock, and began to massage it gently, the powerful tarsal bone of her heel, the metatarsals and the phalanges hidden beneath skin and densely layered muscles like a fan about to open. Her breathing filled the quiet room. Her foot warmed his hands, and he imagined the perfect, secret symmetry of bones. In pregnancy, she seemed to him beautiful but fragile, fine blue veins faintly visible through her pale white skin. It had been an excellent pregnancy without medical restrictions. Even so, he had not been able to make love to her for several months. He found himself wanting to protect her instead, to carry her up flights of stairs, to wrap her in blankets, to bring her cups of custard.
"I'm not an invalid," she protested each time, laughing. "I'm not some fledgling you discovered on the lawn."
Still, she was pleased by his attentions. Sometimes he woke and watched her as she slept. The flutter of her eyelids, the slow, even movement of her chest. Her outflung hand, small enough that he could enclose it completely with his own. She was 11 years younger than he was. He had first seen her not much more than a year ago, as she rode up an escalator in a department store downtown, one gray November Saturday while he was buying ties. He was 33 years old and new to Lexington, Kentucky, and she had risen out of the crowd like some kind of vision, her blonde hair swept back in an elegant chignon, pearls glimmering at her throat and on her ears. She was wearing a coat of dark green wool, and her skin was clear and pale. He stepped onto the escalator, pushing his way upward through the crowd, struggling to keep her in sight. She went to the fourth floor, lingerie and hosiery. When he tried to follow her through aisles dense with racks of slips and brassieres and panties, all glimmering softly, a sales clerk in a navy blue dress with a white collar stopped him, smiling, to ask if she could help. "A robe," he said, scanning the aisles until he caught sight of her hair, a dark green shoulder, her bent head revealing the elegant pale curve of her neck. "A robe for my sister who lives in New Orleans." He had no sister, of course, or any living family that he acknowledged. The clerk disappeared and came back a moment later with three robes in sturdy terry cloth. He chose blindly, hardly glancing down, taking the one on top.
"Three sizes," the clerk was saying, "and a better selection of colors next month."
But he was already in the aisle, a coral-colored robe draped over his arm, his shoes squeaking on the tiles as he moved impatiently between the other shoppers to where she stood. She was shuffling through the stacks of expensive stockings, sheer colors shining through slick cellophane windows. Taupe, navy, a maroon as dark as pig's blood.